You're listening to the Family Matters Podcast, brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Join Derek A. Straker and Patrick Webb weekly for faith-fueled conversations about pressing issues, current events, and politics in the Big Sky State. When it comes to faith and freedom, family really matters. Welcome back to the Family Matters Podcast. Derek A. Straker here in studio. Patrick Webb, he is off this week. We have a very special guest, probably the most important person in the world to me. It's my wife, Haley A. Straker. You know, we have a lot of male voices on our broadcast, and it's nice every once in a while to get a perspective from the female voice, from a woman. You know, God created us, man and woman. And we look at the world a little bit differently. We look at political issues, issues of family, issues of marriage from a different perspective, a different lens. I know we don't always agree, do we, Haley?
not sometimes, but for the majority of the time, I think we get along pretty well.
You know, it's interesting because we've read some books on marriage, and we certainly, you know, marriage is a process and it's something that we work at. But man, you really have to work at it. You really have to be intentional about working on your marriage.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of work, a lot of change over time. It's definitely not stagnant. It's every day is something different. It's a new day with the partner that you chose for life. But that does bring its challenges with each new day.
It does. I know that... you know, our listeners may think that I'm the world's most pleasant person, but sometimes I can be difficult to be around. And I want to say thank you for putting up with me, for being gracious with me, and for being my wife. And thank you for being on this podcast. It's pretty exciting to have you on as a special guest this week.
Well, likewise. And I appreciate being here as a guest. It's really fun.
So let's give the listeners some background on who you are, where you came from, and what you're doing, because I get to see it every day and I'm amazed, but you have quite a bit on your plate.
That's right. Yeah, I do. So I grew up in Montana. I'm from a small town, Roundup. I was a Class B school and I really enjoyed my time there. My grandparents had a ranch right outside of town and grew up in town. And did the small town living for my whole childhood and then moved to Helena for college. And yeah, that's when I met you towards the end of my college days and got married. And I was a political science major, so I really enjoy Montana state politics, especially, and getting involved in that. And actually, one of my first jobs was working as a Senate page. And so that's how I got my start. And so I graduated with my political science degree, and I was set to go to law school, actually in Missoula, and didn't end up going to Missoula, actually, but found an online program to go to law school. And so what was that, our first year of marriage, our second year? I started law school online out of St. Paul, Minnesota. And I've been in law school ever since. I'm graduating in May.
And that's right.
Yeah, you've definitely seen the challenges that brings every day as well. But
that's not it.
No.
I want to let our listeners know, my wife is amazing. You are, not only are you in law school, but we have two children, age 3 and 2, a boy and a girl, and you are currently pregnant. You're due in May.
That's right.
Just a couple weeks before you graduate from law school. You're working a couple jobs. You're raising a family. You are superwoman. So
yeah.
And when I think of Proverbs 31, I think it's writing some poetry about you. That's how I see it.
Oh, I don't know. I think of that verse and I think, man, I need to wake up earlier.
Well, You know, I'm glad you brought up your first law school experience, because it's something that I've talked about, as you know, in my job for the Montana Family Foundation. We're dealing with the culture war all the time. We're dealing with these ideologies that are trying to destroy and replace Christianity and our faith. And one of those is the transgender ideology. And I know that you have experienced this firsthand in terms of, you know, in a area of higher education, being met with this ideology that's being thrust on you and forced on you in a really aggressive way. Mm-hmm. At the law school in Montana, you experienced, you know, typically when you go to law school, they sit you down during your first week and you're in a big group of all your classmates, and they say, look to your left, look to your right. And then they say, you know, one of you is not going to be here at the end. Mm-hmm. Because law school is hard. Yeah. It's difficult. The difference at the University of Montana, from my understanding, at least based on the story that you've told me, is that they say, look to your left, look to your right. Guess what? There's 27 different genders here in this class of 85.
Yeah, it was. So I kind of glossed over why I didn't end up going to U of M or Missoula for law school, but I did go. I was accepted as a student. I was enrolled in classes, and I did go to orientation week with the full intention of going there for school. And yeah, that was essentially what happened. Was there were people in my class that had said that they were different genders. And so the school, I think, felt compelled to educate us on the 27 different genders that could be part of our class. And one of the most striking experiences for me during that orientation week was actually, it was like a game, an introductory game that we were all playing. And you had to stand up if you fell into a certain category, like firstborn sibling or brown hair or, you know, something. So, and then everyone would stand up and that fit that role or that description, and people would clap or applaud. And so there was at one point, they were going through, you know, everyone with a birthday in the summer stand up. And so I stood up along with several other people, of course. But then they said, everyone, it got a little deeper, you know, as it progressed. And by the end, they were saying, well, everyone who's a Christian, stand up. And I was the only one to stand up.
Man, I'm proud of you for that.
Well, thank you. But it alarmed me because, you know, law school is tough and I wanted to make friends. And I had never been really to Missoula, maybe passing through. So it was startling because I thought, oh, no, I don't know if I'm going to be able to relate to some of my classmates. And it was a striking experience. And it was coupled with some other things. I went to the bathroom at one point during that week, and there was a guy, I mean, a male in there wearing a tutu, like a ballerina skirt. And he came out of the same restroom that I was going into. And that was also a little freaky for me. Like I said, coming from small town Montana, not really having the full exposure to that as maybe some other people in bigger cities. This was only a few years ago, but I can't imagine it's gotten any better or any less prevalent at the school.
Isn't that interesting? I don't remember growing up in a time where you would see men in tutus.
Yeah.
And I don't even know where the man tutu store is. I don't know. I don't want to know, for the record, but I think the word you chose, honey, striking, that's fitting, because it really just smacks you right in the face. And you know, as Christians, we want to be prepared. We want to be prepared to, Romans 12 tells us, you know, we're not of this world. Do not be conformed to this world. So we're not going to go out and wear tutus as men,
right,
to try and conform with these types of ideologies in this culture that we're living in.
No, sometimes you can't conform, but other times you're faced with something that you have to confront and you have to make some really tough decisions. I mean, here I was fully accepted into school. I was on a great scholarship. I was, you know, staying in state. So I had in-state tuition. And I remember calling you because we were newlyweds. And I remember saying, I don't think I can stay here. I can't do this. And, you know, as a decent student all my life, and I like to have things planned out, that was really hard to confront. That was a really tough situation to put my values first and really my faith and have to think through exactly what I was willing to go through for 3 years or however long it took me to go through law school. And that was just one situation where I didn't want to put myself in, but that was tough. It was a tough decision to withdraw from a dream, you know, going to law school, and then to have to find an alternate path around it. Yeah.
Right. But God provided.
Oh, yeah.
In that situation, I, you know, what's really cool is here we are with the benefit of hindsight, staring back at the last 4 years, and seeing that God provided a way. You know, the COVID pandemic, as crazy a time as that was, so many law schools moved to a hybrid / online model. Mm-hmm. And you are now graduating from a school that had been doing that for a decade prior to COVID and had really kind of perfected that model.
Right. Yeah. The pandemic really helped point me in the right direction as far as accredited online law school options. But then looking back, I would have been sent home to work anyway on law school for a little while at least. So yeah, it's pretty funny how that all ended up, and it allowed us to have our kids, and I've been home with the kids since the day each of them were born. So I've been very blessed.
If you're listening right now and you think, I don't know that I could do law school and raise a family and work and put up with my husband or, or what have you, you know, reach out and I'll put you in touch with Haley and she can tell you that it is possible. Certainly through the grace of God. But you are a living testament to, you can get this stuff done.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I know there's also some trepidation for second or even third career law school students. And just as a little plug for maybe an online program or even an in-person program, most all of my friends in law school are second career. They're all older than I am, but very driven people. And I think it's just that personality, you know, that really factors into it. So it's not really age or, oh, can I do this with kids? There's no right time to have a kid, as I've found out. Kids are blessings and they're amazing. But it's really difficult to plan. It's just all in God's timing, honestly.
Right. Right. So, you know, obviously you've listened to the podcast. I haven't forced you to.
I've listened.
Be clear. But I appreciate you listening. And you know that we cover some hard and some difficult topics. You know, people care very deeply one way or another about these things. We obviously approach it from a biblical standpoint. But I want to ask you from a woman's perspective. You know, we talk about the transgender ideology. We talk about protecting marriage and protecting the family, protecting educational freedom in this state. What for you are the most pressing issues for the state of Montana in the areas of life, religious liberty, marriage and family, or school choice? What do you see on the horizon that we really need to be engaged in as believers?
Well, I think, I mean, that's a really complex question because it does depend quite a bit on what you're able to do. If you're able to go lobby in person or interact with legislators, or if you're more inclined to go to a school board meeting. I think first and foremost for listeners, and even for me, I have to remind myself that, you know, it's important to be active, in politics and in your state and know what's going on. I think that's a duty of us Christians. But it also has to be comfortable where it fits in with your schedule. And of course, you know, we're called to push our limits a little bit, but it has to fit in with who you are. And so just to keep that in mind, you know, I'm not great with public speaking or anything. So
well, you're doing good on
trying, but just to do things that are genuine, and to be involved in genuine ways. If that's through a church, then it's through a church, it's through your school, etc. But really, I think the most pressing issue that I can see for the state is going to be a lot of the women's health issues. So abortion, I know that's a big topic with the ballot initiative coming up.
That's right.
Hopefully it doesn't become a ballot initiative, but that's an issue. But I really think the framing of that is dangerous. The fact that they're calling it women's health, as a woman, I just really struggle to view that as a woman's health issue. Not to say that pregnancies can't pose dangers. I mean, I've had two premature babies myself, and it's scary, and it is, you know, childbirth is tough. And it's important to seek medical guidance and assistance all throughout pregnancy, but to call abortion a women's health issue really dilutes, I think, what happens. Mm. And, you know, if anything, you know, it's a life issue, and I like how the Family Foundation phrases it, because when you put it just in perspective or just in terms of women's health, it really takes away from acknowledging the personhood of that baby. And I think there's a lot of work to do with the language and the phrasing of all of these issues, and to really pay attention to the propaganda and the terms that the different sides choose to use, and really to pick out which one resonates the most with you as a Christian is important, and to pick out the one that, you know, might have the most biblical foundations in recognizing sanctity of life. It's really important.
I love that. I love the way you put it. You know, it's got to be genuine. You've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if your main issue is school choice and educational freedom, because you have kids that need a specific educational environment for them to be successful, and that's really what you're passionate about, and you're trying to plug that passion into the area of life, it's just going to be difficult. Square peg in a round hole.
Right.
But, you know, I like that. I like that you said that. And I agree with you. You know, life is going to be a big issue this year for this state. It's certainly something that you and I care very deeply about. So it is genuine for us. Mm-hmm. So be genuine. Be in tune with the Holy Spirit's you know, leading and tugging on your heart towards what to get involved in. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, you know, here's a shameless plug for the Montana Family Foundation, but, you know, if you're looking for ways to get involved in one of these areas in the culture war, visit our website, montanafamily.org. We have volunteer opportunities all throughout the state, through Patrick's Family Leader Program. If you're not able to give in your time, in volunteering with your time, you can give financially. But even beyond that, you can always be praying. Mm-hmm. You can always be praying. There, a lot of battles are won in prayer for the kingdom of Christ in the state of Montana. So I would just say that. Thank you so much. I know this is a little bit shorter of a podcast this week, but we are gearing up, engaging in this ballot issue fight. Obviously, that's in front of the Montana Supreme Court right now. There was just an article in the paper yesterday complaining about how long it's taken the Montana Supreme Court to decide this issue. And if you're unfamiliar, if you haven't been following it, the Attorney General found that this ballot issue was legally insufficient. And so the proponents can't gather signatures right now. They can't even go gather signatures. Now, it's in front of the Supreme Court. They've challenged it. So the Supreme Court has spent now a month and 6 days, I guess, wrestling with whether or not to agree with the Attorney General or disagree with him. If they disagree with the Attorney General and overrule his decision, then this ballot issue goes back to the Attorney General, and he will have 5 days to determine whether or not the ballot statements are legally sufficient. If he alters those ballot statements in any way, then the proponents could challenge that. Then, once you make it through that process, the ballot issue has to go before an interim legislative committee for a vote. And only after making it through all those mechanisms can the proponents go out and start collecting signatures. And they have to collect 60,000, more than 60,000 signatures by the deadline of June 21st. So each day that ticks by is valuable because it's one less day that the abortion proponents have to go out and gather signatures to try and get this on the ballot. And folks, we don't want this on the ballot. Life shouldn't be on the ballot. The same people that during the last legislative session were saying, leave our Constitution alone, don't change our Constitution, are the very same people pushing this constitutional change that would put abortion in the Constitution in Montana.
Yeah.
So that's an important battle this year. We are very much engaged at the Montana Family Foundation. I know, you know, back at home, Haley, you hear about this more than most from me, so you're familiar with it.
But yeah, well, but it's good, and I learn more and more every day. And I think one of the most recent things that I've really picked up on is, you know, if it does make it to the signature gathering phase, watch what you're signing. Watch for what you're signing, and really be vigilant about learning as much as you can about these initiatives, because sometimes, again, the wording, people can be a little tricky with what they say and what they do if they're really wanting to get something passed. And so just be on the lookout in the future, I think, and resources like the Montana Family Foundation, like this podcast and many others are intended to point people in the right direction. And I think it's really valuable to stay up to date on all of these issues, because that's the only way we can work to defeat them.
Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast today with me. It was really fun. You're the most special guest, and no offense to the other guests we've had on the program, but I am biased. This is my wife. You're the best guest we've ever had, from my perspective. And I just love having you on the podcast. Thank you so much to our listeners for listening and for learning along with us, for supporting the Montana Family Foundation. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you so much, and God bless you.